problem. Okay. So we're going to do Perek Yud Zayin, 17.
Starting the next one.
I believe so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so last week we talked about the person that can't come to. So the Benyani, let's just recap it a little. So the Benyani is someone who doesn't do anything wrong, but it's all fueled by the love of Hashem, which he generates during davening and other times and all the words, which comes through very great reflection of the greatness of Hashem and significance and the insignificance of the world and so on and so forth. Which the ideal way of doing that is that it's a ahava, it's a love for Hashem that is burning, that is passionate, that is exclusive to Hashem, and it's felt in a revealed way in the heart, which is something the Benyani does normally during davening and so on and so forth. But last week we learned that not everyone can do that. Not everyone can really make sure to come to that amazing love of Hashem felt in the heart in an emotional way, especially when it comes to love, because love is even more. Love means like when you love something, you know, it's exclusive. You love it only. You don't only love that thing and not other things, right? So he said, there is another way to do it, and that is a person can develop and reveal that love in the brain. We talked about that, the emotional part of the brain. In other words, the part that is, you start to be attracted to that thing, although it hasn't been translated yet into full emotional feeling. And he said that also works, and that can also, if that's what motivates the person to do Torah mitzvahs, and to learn more Torah, and do more mitzvahs, and stay away from ungodly and unholy things, and that's also good. And that's the pshat of what Chazal tell us, that machshava toiva, if a person has a good thought, that Hashem, well, the simple pshat is Hashem considers it as you've done, but the pshat he learned in Tanya was that Hashem connects and he bypasses the heart, so to speak, and allows it to connect to the action, right? And he said also that because even though it's considered hidden love it allows him to fuel that the mitzvahs and becomes like Ava Vayura, love and fear, which the Zohar says are like in the two wings of the heart, two wings of the bird, sorry, which allow the bird to fly. So too this Ava Vayura elevates the mitzvahs to a higher level. Okay. So now in Perek Yud Zayin, it kind of comes to the almost. Perek Yud Zayin is a good parak to finish the term with, because it actually is the end of a section, right? And he says the following. Remember the very, very beginning of Tanya, in the introduction to Tanya, in like the opening page of Tanya, he said that Tanya is based on the pasuk Kikarav Elecha Hadovar Ma'od, that this matter, Torah Mitzvah, is very clear, is very accessible to you, very close to you, the ficha on your mouth, in your heart, and to action, right? And he said that Tanya is coming to explain how it's so accessible. It's not so easy, right? He says like this. Now he comes back through the whole thing and he explains like this. But this we can understand, what it's written, ki koroiv eilecha hadovar ma'oid, v'ficha uvilvavcha la'asoysa. Yeah? Now, he says like this. You can understand v'ficha, you can understand your mouth, you can understand your action. At the end of the day, it might not be easy, but it's accessible to everyone. Proper action and proper speech. Problem is, the pasuk also says bilvavka, that to have this in your heart is accessible to you as well, very easy to you. The Chori says bilvavka neged achushalon. It's actually not. It's not the reality. To actually give birth to feelings and closeness to Hashem is actually very hard. The Torah is nitzchus, and the Torah is eternal, right? And we know she'ein korev ma'oid lahapech liboy. It's not so easy to transform your heart mitayvos olam hazeh to the from the temptations of this world The avas Hashem be'emes to true love of Hashem. It's very, very, very difficult. Controlling your action, that is possible. And we can understand how the Torah can refer to it as korev. Speech, the same thing, but to have control over the feelings of your heart, to actually be close to Hashem in your heart, which means not just to have feelings of Hashem in your heart, but also means to have their feelings away from the temptations of the world. This is very, very difficult. Yeah? Now he adds in the words of HaTorah Hinitzchis. He adds in the words of the Torah is eternal. The reason he's adding that word is because he says, don't come, what he's trying to say is, don't come and say, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to a very, very elevated generation. There's a pasuk in Dvarim, this is part of Moshe Rabbeinu's last speech that he gave for 37 days, right? From Rosh Chodesh Shvat till the 7th of Adar, the whole book of Dvarim preparing the Jewish people. And it's to that generation, which we refer to the generation of the Midbar, as Dor Dea. They were a very intelligent, spiritually intelligent generation at a very high level. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to them. He says, you can't do that, because he says, Torah is Nitzchis, Torah is eternal. So it's a pasuk in Torah, and the pasuk in Torah says that love of Hashem in your heart is accessible and easy and close to you. That means everyone. It's true for everyone. So how can that be? That was the question that Tanya was based on. Not only that, the truth is that even in Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, it wasn't considered that easy, right? Because there's another pasuk in Devarim. Let me give you the background here, where Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people and he says, "V'ata Yisrael, and now my Jewish people, what is Hashem asking for you at the end of the day? He's not asking much. The only thing he's asking is le'yiras Hashem, to fear God. That's all he's asking, right? Now, so he says in Tanya, and he was talking to that generation. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? He's always asking. Otu yira milsa zutrasihi? Do you think fearing Hashem is something easy? Right? Okay, the Gemara over there answers and answer. And this, the Gemara is asking on how he spoke to that generation. So first of all, you can't answer that kikore ve'lecho is only talking about that generation because the Torah is eternal. Second of all, even that generation is not that easy. As the Gemara highlights, the Gemara asks the question that when he said to them, you know, all Hashem is asking for you is to fear Him. That's not easy, right? Okay, the Gemara has an interesting answer. The Gemara says, yes, for Moshe Rabbeinu it was easy, which obviously doesn't answer the question. He was talking to everyone else, not himself, right? So Tanya, other places, the Chassidus explains, it means that every person has a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu in them, so they have to be able to access that. Okay, that's a separate discussion, but we see that it's not easy. And then he says, and Tanya adds three words. He says, "V'kol shekein ava," how much more so love of Hashem. And serving Hashem out of love, the Gemara Soita says that serving Hashem out of love is greater than serving Hashem with fear. Why is that? Because you see, it's like this, right? Fear can be a feeling that you have that's not so internalized. Fearing means you're in awe of something outside of you, something greater. Okay, it's a big madrega also. But it's not like love. Love means...
It's not really fear, it's more like reverence.
Reverence, but all those things, reverence, fear, awe. It's all about, and there's different levels of these things, right? It's all about, it's not that you've transformed yourself, it's more that you are in awe of something else, right? Whereas love is different. Love is it's you. To love Hashem means that you transform, it means you're not just suppressing yourself, you actually don't have any love for anything else. You don't love the temptations of this world. You love Hashem, that's what you do, right? It's much more internalized feeling. So for sure that's hard. And he says, he continues, V'gam omru rabbi say nuzal, and our forefathers, and our sages tell us, that tzaddikim davke libom birushusa. That it's only real tzaddikim that are in complete control of their heart. So how can we say, kikore ve'lecha? That it's so accessible to everyone. Even bilvofka, even your heart's not so accessible. It's not easy, it's not accessible, and it's not even achievable for most people. Tzaddikim are able to transform their heart, right? The real banyan, you can do it in davening, but it's a very difficult thing. Ella, but the answer is, now we understand it, especially after learning last week's chapter. What does it mean to do it? It means, when he talks about the heart, it means, Ha'ava ha'mevi'a lidei asiyas ha'mitzvos bilvad. What is accessible and relatively close is the love which brings to mitzvahs. Now, we learned last week that love that brings to mitzvahs doesn't necessarily mean full-blown emotional love. Right? What is it? Shehiru usa deliba. It's the will of the heart. Sheh taluma esle, which is hidden in the heart. Gam ki eino behisgalus libo ikirish ve'esh, even if it's not revealed in his heart like the burning flames of fire. As we learned last week, it's more in the brain. It's more an intellectual love. But it's intellectual love that's strong, and it's motivating, and it's igniting, and inspiring the keeping of mitzvahs, but it's a different type of love. And that's a love that is achievable. That's what the pasuk is saying. The dover ze koroiv ma'oid. This is very close. The knuckle, and even relatively easy, l'chol adam, to every person, asher yesh lo moach b'kodkodo. If he has a brain, he can do this. Right? Why? Ki moachai b'rishusai. Because his brain is in his control. The yochel his boinen boin, he can use his brain, he uses, not brain doesn't mean the physical brain, it means he can use the power of intellect to think about it, to reflect on it, k'chol asher yachbo, as much as he wants and when he wants. Oh, no one's saying it's not hard work, isn't it? How are you going to cut the cake? Serving Hashem is hard work. It's supposed to be hard work. That's okay. Right? But when you do it, it's achievable, at least. That's what he's saying. It's achievable on some level. Because she's boinim by bigdula sein sov baruch. When you really reflect about the greatness of Hashem, the meila yolid automatically will give birth. The moichai al kol ponim. At least in your brain. Ha'av al Hashem, the love of Hashem, ledovka boy bekiyum mitzvaysav v'terasav, to cleave to him with the fulfillment of mitzvahs and the Torah, right? Now he says, at the end of the day, that's the main thing, right? V'zeh kol ha'adam. This is the entire person. At the end of the day, in Yiddishkeit, what's the bottom line? Doing a mitzvah. Learning Torah. Action. Right? That's true. You need love to propel it. You need love to elevate it. But love can be also in your brain. It can be the hidden love, the more the one that's more sort of in the background. But it's a strong love. Now, it's not just, as Yonah said, it's actually hard work. It still requires a lot of learning, a lot of reflection to really, even to come to that conclusion in your brain that there's nothing else worth pursuing other than Hashem. I'm not just talking about coming to that conclusion temporarily when you're sitting by a shir or something, or you're reading a book. I mean, to really have that mindset, right? To have that mindset that nothing else really worth anything other than connection to Hashem. It's also difficult work, but it's achievable. What's not so achievable is to translate that into full emotional love. That's not so achievable.
But this is sufficient to give the mitzvah both wings?
Exactly, as we say. And that's what we learn. That's that Hashem helps us bypass the heart. Always, if you have that av, if you have that love, you can connect to that love at least in your intellect, or we say, or in the recesses of your heart. Always, it's not a full blown emotional love, but it's a conviction, it's a mindset that you've come to, and you would like to really do that. That's what you want to do. That's your aspiration. Then it's enough to inspire the keeping of mitzvot. That's enough to enhance the choice that we make for our a brain to control our heart and to do what's right, even though our yetzer hara or nefesh abamis wants to do something different, and it's enough to elevate them to Torah mitzvahs. Yeah. Later on, he talks about different madrega, because different spiritual worlds, that full blown love elevates the mitzvah to one world, and this is another lower world, but it's elevated mitzvahs nevertheless, right? And he says, "V'zeh kol adam." This is the person. This is the entire person, because as we know, hayoyim hu la'asoysam k'siv. It's written in Parshas Vayeschanan that today, meaning today is the day you have to do. What does today mean? The interpretation of the word Hayoim is Hayoim Olam Maisa Dafka. It's the world of action. This world. This world is a world of action. Ulamachar says the Gemara, and tomorrow, what's the tomorrow? That's the Olam Haba. That's the world to come. That's where we receive reward and pleasure from Hashem and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is now, it's action. Mitzvahs. Right? Is what you're experiencing going to bring to more mitzvahs or less mitzvahs? Is it going to bring to more learning Torah or less learning Torah? That's what it's all about. So if the love within your heart, if in your brain, the intellectual love, is also hard work, but it's nevertheless more achievable, more accessible, that will bring to Torah mitzvahs, that's all we need. That is the tachlis of this world. That is the tachlis of the Torah mitzvahs. Now he goes back now and he says, how does it actually work? I mean, how does that love in the brain actually work? He says, bottom line is, the brain shalit betivoy. It does. It controls naturally. That brain, that love in the brain, that conviction, that mindset can control the left ventricle of the heart, which is the nefesh habamis. Bel piv, and it can control the mouth. Bel kolei vorim, and all the other limbs, shehem klei hamaisa. Right? So that's the full circle. So bottom line is like this. What's achievable is to be a Beinoni, meaning the point up until now in Tanya, what it said is, let's say first of Beinoni, the book of a Beinoni. So you have to explain what a Beinoni is, because the Beinoni is the middah, is the derech of every single person. As we explained many times, it's the pathway to Beinoni. If we all Beinoni, it's not necessarily, but we aspirational Beinonis, right? What's a Beinoni? A Beinoni autonomy is to learn to control our thought, speech, and action, doing mitzvahs, not doing averus, doing things that are holy and godly, and not doing things that are ungodly and unholy, the entire 24 hours of the day. That's what a Beinoni is. That needs, and that is accessible, because that's bechira, that's to do with choice, right? Yes, the help of Hashem and all that, but it's a achievable thing. And it needs ava, it needs love and fear to ignite it, to propel it, to elevate it. But that love and fear is not so accessible to everyone, but can be accessible if it's love and fear of the brain. And therefore, the kikore v'ilecha, the pasuk kikore v'ilecha, is true for every single person. And that's got to be our mindset, right?
So when he says can control the left ventricle of the heart, just meaning subduing the
nefesh habamis. Even though
transforming it into the right side of the heart.
Correct. But again, this love of the brain has to be also worked on. It's also hard work, right? Like you said before. It's hard work. And it takes a lot of learning. It takes a lot of learning. And reflection and understanding and thinking about it, right? Again, you know, when I explain this, I always like to go back to Hasidim that I knew, that were steeped in Hasidus and so on, right? Not all of them reached emotional love of Hashem. Yes, I told you a story about the one Bachar that noticed that the Rebbe Rashab came into the room, because he took a reach to Avas Hashem, and not everyone does. But you find by, you know, people who lived Hasidic lives, and they lived in the context of Tanya's teachings, put it that way. And the more they were immersed in that, the less world meant anything to them. That's the hallmark. It's the hallmark of Chassidus, right? Not to be confused with something that people do confuse with today, right? And I've heard this being said. That's why I'm bringing it up. That people think that this was Chassidus until the Rebbe, and the Rebbe changed it all. The Rebbe made the world very important. That's complete rubbish. that's complete nonsense. What the Rebbe did was, on the contrary, in fact, I'll tell you something amazing. The purpose, that when you learn Hasidus, you realize the world is completely bottled up to Hashem, right? Even though what is the world? The world is something that hides Hashem, conceals Hashem's existence, but it's a place where we... Oh, sorry, one second there. Place where Hashem wants to live. Hashem created a place which is the lowest and darkest of all existence, and he said, that's where I want to live. That's the place ultimately you can reveal my essence, right? Okay. So we have to understand what we're talking about. When we talk about the world being nothing and the world is bottle, we mean the pleasures of the world, the concealment of the world as an independent existence, right? This It's a kind of a story you normally tell about Chassidus of brains, but there was once a very big chassid. I wonder who it was. I think maybe it was Rabbi Itcher the Masmin, one of the great Hasidim. He came to America from Europe, and someone took him around to Manhattan, and he wanted to show what kind of amazing place Manhattan is, and he showed him some of the skyscrapers. He says, "No, you're impressed." He says, "Whoa." And he used a very interesting language, because it says in Hasidus that, you know, there's something called the Seder Ishtalshelus. There's an evolution of worlds, right? One world is another. And it says this world is so nothing, like the malachim are the ones that the influence of this world goes through, and the waste of the malachim, the waste, like the bathroom of the malachim, so to speak, is this world, right? This world, that's all it is. So he showed him this big side trip, he says, no, some more waste, that's all it is, like a bigger waste, right? Okay. And they meant it. They had no interest in What did the Rebbe bring that was... And by the way, this is something you learn, like, the second part of Tanya is all about this. Second part of Tanya is called Shara Yichud V'Amunna. It's about understanding the oneness of Hashem, that really there is nothing else besides Hashem. Ultimately, there's no true reality outside of Hashem. Every other apparent reality is nothing. Weak. Nothingness, right? And the Rebbe himself, by the way, particularly in the first number of years, he used to laugh. He used to be very, very upset about people that that the whole... I was once by a sikha, in my day, that was later. But the Rebbe was talking about how people get caught up with the pleasures of the world. And he was making fun of someone. I don't know if it was a real thing or... He didn't say your name, obviously, but it was just a concept that he has. Like, he has a special table in his house, and he says he had to go because it wasn't enough just to buy a nice table. He had to make a table that was made in Italy with a special kind of wood. He was making such litzanis. And then he made such fun of him, and he says, and you know what, if you ask him why he does it, he says, no, he needs a table to put his tanya on. Like, you know, as if it's like he's making it holy, right? He's like, you know, tanya, make it holy, right? And his mom was like, you know, there was like, there was a time that he's finding the fabrings, like there's a Purim, I think it's a Purim from Rain from the early years. There was a new kitchen that had come into a big, I don't know if it's still around, but it was like a brand name kitchen. It's called the Hollywood Kitchen. They still have them? I don't know if they still have them. Huh? No. Anyway, no, I'm talking about the 60s. And like everyone was going, this is like the thing in America to get there. They made such fun of it, like Hollywood Kitchen, you know, Hollywood Kitchen for like, you know, kitchen, you know, it needs to look decent. But like, no, it wasn't that. The Rebbe, by the way, was very into people having enough and being and having plenty, and people shouldn't have to suffer and shouldn't have to be fakvetched, but the obsession with the materialism of it, that was like, it was like a parenting, right? But what we do have to do is we have to bring that truth into the world. So the way keeping away from worldliness in previous generations was actually to retreat from the world, right? The Rebbe said, nowadays we've come to the thing where we've got to bring Mashiach, so now we've got to bring it into the world. Not that all of a sudden the world became important, no, not the contrary. That whole idea of bittul, of the world, you have to be able to do even though you're engaged in the world. In other words, so that everyone's explained, I'll tell you a beautiful sikha, right, so we understand the concept a little bit. The difference between Yosef and his brothers. Right? Yosef was called Yosef HaTzadik, right? It's an interesting thing, because he wasn't as spiritual as his brothers. When his brothers came to Mitzrayim, they requested to be sequestered somewhere. They wanted to live in Goshen, but they didn't want to have to do with the concealment of Mitzrayim, the hustle and bustle of Mitzrayim. Yosef was very in the thick of it. He was in the thick of the political life of Mitzrayim and the morality of Mitzrayim. I mean, he was mamash in the capital city, right? And he's the one called Yosef HaTzadik. Why? So it's a very complicated sikh. I'm just going to give you a little bit of it, because the Rebbe talks about the madregas of Yaakov and Yosef and his brothers and so on. So his brothers were big tzaddikim, but they were scared of being affected by the world. Right? And therefore they asked to be somewhere else. Says the Rebbe like this. The very fact that they wanted to be separate from the world I mean, not, I said the world, I mean the material part of the world, right? Meant that they understood that they haven't come full to the full Madrega, that the world is nothing. In other words, the world still had an impression of them. And they knew that. They were scared of that. Never want to live in the world. They want to live separate. Right? Yosef was such a tzaddik, he was in a high Madrega than his brothers. To him, the world mamish meant nothing. Completely nothing. It had no chashivas, no importance whatsoever. To him, the Madrega of Bittul of the world that he had was greater than the Bittul that his brothers had. And therefore, he can be walking on Bandai Road and it doesn't matter. Because the world means nothing. It's all about Hashem. Wouldn't have any effect on him. To bring that out, because there are many, many, many sikhs like that. But nowadays, it's a complete untruth to say that the Rebbe all of a sudden made the world important. On the contrary, the Rebbe made the world less important. And that's why today we have the koyach, or we should have the koyach, able to be engaged with the world and to bring Hashem into that world. And the more worldly it is, very distracting. Exactly. That's the point. The point is that today we have to understand the nothingness of the world even more than they have to understand when they lived in the city of Lubavitch. The city of Lubavitch wasn't a big metropolis, you have to understand. It was like a couple of streets with the river. Right? That's all it was. Yeah, there was some goyim there and all that, but it wasn't like, you know. And to them, world meant nothing, and they were quite comfortable living there, right? But to the Rebbe asked from us something different. They have to engage the world and be above the world at the same time. Which means you have to have a deeper understanding of how the world is nothing. How it all means nothing, it's all nonsense. So that you can engage with it and bring Hashem into it. People who then the world is nothing, but they have to be outside of the world. They were still working more in the spiritual context, and therefore they weren't able to bring Elokus into the thick and thin of the world, right? How did I get onto this? Ah, yeah, this is the whole idea, right? No, so I'm saying, this idea of the world being nothing, this is what he means before about having a love of Hashem, right? For that you have to be, you have to aspire to live a completely godly life, which means you have to understand the complete insignificance of anything worldly. Which takes a lot of learning, a lot of thinking, a lot of. Right. Now, the first step to that is even if we don't. So he talks about developing that love in our brain. Before you develop the love in our brain, first you have to understand the concept. Right?
The way Hashem interacts with us, though, is through this world.
Correct.
That's the only way we can know if we're on the dairy.
Of course in the world, because you're supposed to operate in the world. That's what he's saying, action. But it's about working in the world which you know is nothing. It's all godliness.
Yeah, so it's all godliness. So then...
No, but not the... Maybe that's a mistake we'll make. If we say all godliness, not the concealment of it. You say it's all godliness, people mean, oh, so it means like eating ice cream is a godly thing. No, eating ice cream is not a godly thing.
No. But things happen to us, and that is from Hashem.
Everything's from Hashem.
In this world.
No, but in order for us to recognize that everything is from Hashem and it's all an expression of Hashem, it's all Hashem's communication to us, we have to understand that the worldliness part of it is nothing. Yeah, does that make sense? I'll give you an example. If you learn Shara B'tochen, which the Rebbe always encourages people to learn, right? Learn it properly, like to understand it properly. So what he says there is harder now than it used to be. But it really, I was just learning a piece this morning about something else. But they're like for example, you know, we do what we're supposed to do. We do Ishtadlut, because Hashem wants it to come through this world. You're right, everything wants it to communicate through this world, but that's what Shara B'tochen talks about. Like, you have to know, for example, if you need a politician to do something, you have to ask the politician, because that's part of Ishtadlus. But you have to know that it's got nothing to do with him. Nothing. Right? The way, you know, he's right, he's left, he's center, he's this, he's that. Absolute nonsense. Hashem wants you to have it, you'll have it. Hashem doesn't want you to have it, you won't have it. Yes, you've got it's a very difficult balance. You've got to make your ishtadlus, you've got to do what you think is the right thing to do. At the end of the day, you got it, you didn't got it, it's completely up to Hashem, the guy has nothing to do with it. That's a very difficult thing. But it's all part of the same emunah, it's all part of the same thing. To understand anything world is nothing. It's all Hashem.
What about when things go wrong?
Yeah, so like, I just read a piece of Shabbat B'Tochen this morning, he says like this. He's talking about, because he expresses B'Tochen in different areas of life. So the piece I'm reading now is about how you if you need people, let's say you need a favor from someone, right? So if you want something and you ask someone a favor, let's say you want someone to give you something, you need something, you ask someone to give you something, and you really need it, maybe legitimately need it. See, if the person gives it to you, so you have to thank Hashem, first of all, she says. Because not him, it's not the person, it's Hashem. But the thing is, you also have to thank the person because he's doing his avodas Hashem and he's doing chesed. And the fact that Hashem chose him to be the shliach means he's a good guy, so you should thank him. How about if he doesn't give it to you? Things went wrong. He says you have to thank Hashem that he protected you because that thing wasn't for you. But again, you know, the Rebbe would encourage learning Shara B'Tochen not only as an independent thing, because it really fits in with the whole Chassidus. In other words, it fits in with the whole thing, because if you give Chashivus, if you give prominence to the world, you see the world as an independent power, which means you see other people as an independent power, and have independent importance other than Torah Mitzvahs, then it's very hard to apply Shara B'Tochen. Because that means the person had the power to give it to me, don't give it to me, so I'm angry now. Right? Now, there's a thing that going forward, you have to think things are going to work out. Okay, that's a separate issue. But part of B'Tochen also is that when things happen that you don't see as good, reveal good, you have to believe that for now was the best thing for you. All right, it's very hard, right? But again, it goes, but it's enhanced. All it's connected to this whole thing about that general, one of the themes of Chassidus and Tanya is to take ourselves away from the taiva, from the temptation of the world, which means to understand that temptations of this world are bad for you, are good, and are nothing, are nothingness, it says, right? It's a very big problem that is, because we live in a very hedonistic society, and a very materialistic society. Getting worse, actually.
It's too much
out there. Right? It doesn't mean we shouldn't have Hashem Shabbat. The Rebbe used to talk about that we should rather have the test of wealth than the test of poverty. But having a test of wealth, we have to work like there was a very great, very rich chassid of the Alter Rebbe called Yamin Kletzke. He was a big businessman. He made a lot of money. But it was all about Hashem. I think I told you this. He once made he was doing his accounting. So at the bottom he put Sach HaKol, total. He did, you know, different sums. Total, he put Einod Milvad, nothing else besides Hashem. That's the total. It's all nothing. You have to have it because you can do good with it, but it's all nothing. Now, first thing is to learn about it. Second thing is to believe in it, right? Because the truth is, we're not all on that Madrega, right? We're not on the Madrega. Sometimes we're not all on the Madrega to suddenly give up all the worldly pleasures and all the worldly things. But at least we have to be honest. The first part of Chassidus is we have to be honest with ourselves, right? Person might say, you know, he's not at the level where he's not going to eat ice cream, but you have to know that eating ice cream is not holy. That's the first part. Low battery, that's why it's doing this, okay? There we go. Right? No, he had a tiger to get, you know, the brand car or whatever, right? Okay, do it, not a problem. If you're not on the Madrega, not on the Madrega, but at least understand where we are. That's the first thing, right? And then to work on it more and to make a dent and to actually value the world less. And that's part of what we're saying about developing love, even though it's not full blown, but it's intellectual love. Yeah, but that's because you're looking for the Hashgacha. You're looking for Hashem in the world. You're not looking for the world in the world. You're looking for Hashem in the world.
Okay, yes. But that
is different. Yeah, of course we live in this world. That's the point. The point is to reveal Hashgacha practice, right? It's like the same thing. Like in Chassidus it says, the Friedrich Rebbe talks about this a lot. When a person goes to the business, of course he's got to put his skill in, he's got to do his business deal, and he's got to do his best. But if he looks for Hashgacha practice, it means he knows that really it's not from him. And if he made a lot of money because he closed a great deal, it's got nothing to do with him, actually.
You look at the Grand Canyon, for example, and you can't say that's the waste room of the angels. You don't, that's not, you see Hashem's greatness, no?
But it is the waste room, yeah. No, you know, there is a concept of Nifloy Sabor, the wonders of Hashem, no question. But by the way, Chassidus says that you can come to love Hashem through that as well, but it's actually a lower level of love, coming through the world. It's a limited thing. Oh, you realize, of course, the world can't make itself, and the more beautiful the world is. And David HaMelech says this. He says, Merav Nasech Hashem. By the way, we talk about the waste of the world, we're talking about more man-made things, really. But anyways, but even the whole world, Gashmius is it's Simpson. What do you mean waste room of the angels? It means it's the Hashem is very hidden there. Now, when you see the greatness of Hashem in it, in that beauty, then you've upgraded. In other words, you've bypassed the waste part of it, and you're seeing Hashem is behind it. Everything's from Hashem. The waste room is also from Hashem. That's the point, right? But you have to. Then it's different, because then you use it as a vehicle to discover Hashem. It's completely different.
But you say that is still, it gets you only to a lower level.
Yeah, because it's all about Gashmius at the end of the day, right? Yeah. Right. Now, if there's no, of course, that's part of what is Hashem and saying, I mean, it's interesting that in Pirkei Avos there's a mission that says if someone is in the middle of learning and stops his learning to observe the beauty of a tree or the beauty of a building, this is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. It's like forfeits his life. Pirkei Avos is a very, very sharp, right? Because different interpretations means he's doing independent of his Torah. So there's no question that of course, Hashem created these wonders for a reason. And of course, there is the thing about seeing Hashem in the wonders of the world. There's no question. I mean, we make brachas. Oysamas gracious, lightning, thunder, of course. But again, it's about finding Hashem in it. Not looking at the world as anything independent. Sometimes to get there, you also have to first negate the world in order to see the Hashem in the world. That's the way it goes. Right? And that's part of Chassidus also. In order to understand, in other words, in order to bring Hashem into the world, you first have to really appreciate the nothingness of the world. And then it becomes a vehicle for Hashem. You understand? That's what the... This is ongoing discussion, but this is the focus here. This is the, right? Okay. So he says, just to finish the parents, he says that this, and that's why it's achievable, that's why it's close, because we all have a brain and we can think and we can do this, hard work. But we can come to this realization and it'll inspire, and everyone, when we do come to that strong love, in our brain at least, the brain will control the left ventricle of the heart and will subdue the nefesh habad, means it only serve Hashem, right? And makes a point, im loy mishu rosha be'evis. There is... There is an exception to this. Someone who's a true rosha. Now, he's going to explain an interesting thing. You know, do me a favor, just give me 1 second. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go for a bit.
Mentioned it in passing, so I quickly put it down. Yeah. My sister's coming later.
We can't take her out because it has.
No, that's right.
Maybe after this, do that.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, not now, I just haven't got time.
Yeah, definitely not now.
No.
So, she loves the toasted cheese bagels.
Okay.
So let's do that after she's
left.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, see, Barry brings another concept like this. Is an exception. In other words, like, the normal routine is if a person can develop this type of love in his brain, he'll be able to control his heart and be able to control the nefesh abamis and do the right thing. However, sometimes there's a blockage in the heart. Right? And it makes it difficult. He says, for example, a person is a true Rasha, im lo yishu Rasha be'emes, then it doesn't work. K'maymer Rabbis Razal, sharashoyim hem b'rashus libam, that actually a person can get to the level of a Rasha, probably means like a complete Rasha, Rasha Gomer like we learned before, that they become trapped in the jurisdiction of their heart. In other words, they almost can't change. Ain libam b'rashusam klal, and their heart is not in their control. Most people, the heart's in their control, just need to work hard and develop that love, intellectual love at least, and so on and so forth. Right? Now, how would that happen? So he says, sometimes it's a punishment. Hashem actually blocks the person to be connected because they've done such terrible things, right? Now, the Torah is not talking about people that are not alive. There's a concept of a person who is alive. Rosha says is alive, but it's called dead. Right? He can't become alive because he's in the... Now, so what does that mean? Does that mean that a person is lost? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that person can't go the normal route. Can't go up in the morning and think about the greatness of Hashem, and the world is nothing, and therefore overcome the temptations of the heart. He can't do that. He needs a different route. Give emes. The truth is, efshar l'roshayim l'haskil l'avad Hashem. It's impossible for a Rosha to start to serve Hashem, believe sheyasu tshuva ala ovar tchila. He's going to have to go through an intense process of getting rid of that past. L'shaber haklipos, to break the klipah, shei mosach mavdil u'mechitza, which has now become a barrier and a mechitza, shel bazel, an ironclad wall, hamafsekes peinom, which is separating them, la'avim shebashamayim, and their father in heaven. Right? Al yidei shviras liboy, through breaking the heart, umeriras nafshe al chatov. You know, it was a real intense tshuva, and he says it includes the process of meriras, of feeling very uncomfortable and very, just feeling the discomfort of having done the wrong thing. Which there are times for that. Later on in Tanya, he talks more about how you do that and when you do that. But there is that concept. There is that concept that, and that includes most of us, because we all do things that sometimes create blockages, but there is that concept of doing of tshuva, that tshuva has to be part of the process. And tshuva is not just about thinking about the greatness of Hashem. Tshuva is a process of breaking the klipah. Sometimes that comes through a process called merirus. Merirus means bitterness, but not sadness, not depression. Later on, he makes a distinction between atzvus and merirus. And of course, even merirus is something which is not shouldn't be all the time, but there is a place for it once in a while, like to beat up on nefesh abamis a little bit, because it becomes so strong that it's blocking the brain. It's blocking any influence, right? It says Zivche Elakim. He says this is part of the Betam Shema, chapter 21 of Tehillim. Zivche Elakim Ruach Nishba. The real sacrifices we give to Hashem is the broken heart. Leiv Ruach Nishba, broken spirit. Leiv Nishba, a broken heart. Shall they leiv Nishba? Because when a person can develop a broken heart, a good broken heart, meaning broken heart from the things we've done wrong. Nishba Ruach Hatuma. The Sitra Achra breaks the spirit of impurity from the Sitra Achra, and he brings the reference there for Zohar, Ayin Shom, Parashas Pinchas, Av Mem, Vayikra, Lav Ches, etc., etc. And he says, V'hi b'chinas tshuva tato. That's the idea of tshuva tato, the lower level of tshuva. Later on, there's also a section of Tanya called Igeres HaTshuva, the letter of tshuva. And there he talks about two levels of tshuva. The low level of tshuva is tshuva tato. What's tshuva tato? So what's the word tshuva? The word tshuva is toshuv hei. To return the hay, right? What's the hay? It says lahalois hay tato, to elevate the lower hay. Now yudkei vavke, Hashem's name has two hays, and the shomer has four levels, also corresponding yudkei vavke, right? So what happens is like this: lahakimo minifilosa shenofla lachitzoynim. That when we do the wrong thing, in Tanya over there explains, we disconnect the hay, the lower part of our neshama that's in the body, which is connected to the higher part of the neshama. So Yudke, the neshama has Yudke Vavke, the lower part of the neshama, the hay, the lower hay, is the part that interacts with our body. But if we do the wrong thing, we schlep it down to be locked in and trapped in external things. She saw Golas HaShchina, which is the idea of the Shchina being in Golas. It's like Hashem being in exile. We exile the Shekhinah. Right? K'mamer HaZal, like it says in HaZal, Golul le'edom Shekhinah Imoyim, that when the Yidden went into